Hello, everyone. Well, that was it. Summer's gone. Everyone's back to school. Doom and gloom. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo. Fortunately, I'm very optimistic. So. Yay, it's the autumn nearly. Nearly Christmas. Shall we pray, shall we? Call each of us who look to and cling to you, one of your children. Lord, I thank you for that marvellous inheritance that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for the love that you bestow on us, which is absolutely perfect. Lord, I thank you for the peace that you send to us. Lord, I pray that as we study your word for the next few minutes, Lord, I pray that you'll send your Holy Spirit in us and stir it up and stir our spirit up, Lord, so that we can hear what you're saying. Lord, we need to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as they say, are you all sitting comfortably? And then I shall begin. Now, unfortunately, comfortable, which is a really good thing to start with. But also, it's been really, really great. There's a lot of really, really great encouragement as well. Now, as I'm sure you've already gathered if you know me, I am really excited and I get really passionate about the early church in Acts. Now that church, if you think about it, it included the disciples who had followed around Jesus for 3 years, who had been there when he spoke the words, when he did the amazing miracles that he did. Every minute of the day they followed him around. And as you know, my actual passion is revival. But over this last year, I've come to view it simply, revival's a good word, but more of a reawakening of our souls, minds and bodies to who we really are in Jesus. A rediscovery, if you like, of who we are in Christ and where God has purposed, called and placed us. And on this journey that I've been sort of going on over the last year, I mean, I've really been doing it all my life, but it seems to have got more intense over the last year. One of the main core messages for me has been ones of freedom. Freedom from condemnation, mainly from myself. We're our own worst enemies a lot of the time, aren't we? Condemnation from everything that stands in opposition to God. And condemnation of things like religious legalism. It's been great, isn't it? We have truly been set free. And there are some great verses in John's gospel about freedom, aren't there? One of my favourites is John 8, 31 to 32. And Jesus says to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. So as part of this whole reawakening to who we really are in Christ, my whole life, I've been looking at the church in Acts. And this has been from a very, very young age. And in the churches that I was brought up in and all through my life. And I've always thought, why is church not like Acts now? And I am always really hungry for a return to the church like it was in Acts. Not because of some sort of romantic nostalgia. Not because, that looks really great. Why don't we do that now? I understand that as a bunch of people, we're completely different from how people were 2,000 years ago. But more in a sense of, we have been given the same commission as the church in Acts. We've been adopted into the same family. We've been given the very same Holy Spirit. So we should also expect to see the signs, the wonders, and the miracles. And there are two reasons, I think, that we should be seeing these. One, because if you look through the Bible, including when Jesus was alive and during his ministry, signs, wonders, and miracles were the way that God demonstrated who he was. His power and what he can do. And then for us today, for everyone who comes after Jesus. Jesus says, if you truly follow me, these signs and wonders will follow you. So, I'm getting to a place on my journey now where I'm thinking, I think it's about time I started seeing some signs and wonders. Anyone else? Anyone else getting? Now, I've seen signs and wonders before, but now I'm like thinking, come on. In Acts, they just, another one. When Jesus was here, and I'm like saying, so I'm now getting to a place for myself where I need to see that now. Not for myself, but because I'm reading it in the Bible. After all, Jesus has told us that these signs and wonders will follow. So it's really exciting, isn't it? Maybe a little bit uncomfortable, but if we're honest, is anyone in this room comfortable anyway? That's a really interesting question, isn't it? So, this morning we're going to look at the way. I was going to suggest to Ben and Vicky we did the way this morning, so we could all be, but with we didn't have quite the band to do it justice. The way was the name, wasn't it, given to the first bunch of Christians in Acts. It was one of the names that people called them. They were called followers of the way. And in particular, I want to look at Isaiah's prophecy of the way. It was very interesting hearing Robin show us that verse this morning and say it was a prophetic verse. Because I'll tell you what, I've been feeling on the edge for a long time and I feel like it's about, are we going to go? So if we turn to Isaiah, if you've got your Bible with us, and it's Isaiah 35, verse 8. And Isaiah says, and a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. The wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. And we also can read about this way in the Gospels, can't we? Jesus tells us that this is the narrow way that leads to life. As in opposition to the broad way, which leads to destruction. And Jesus also tells us in the Gospels, doesn't he, that he is the way. So, what happens then if we put this prophecy from Isaiah about the way and what Jesus says about himself being the way together? Now, we can only walk on the way that Isaiah is telling us about, the one that he prophesies about, the one that Jesus calls the narrow way, if we allow Jesus to also be the way in our lives, don't we? Simply, us living in him and he living in us. And there are some amazing truths contained within Isaiah's prophecy as well. Now, the first few are a bit uncomfortable, and this is where I've been feeling a bit uncomfortable this week. Right at the start in verse 8, he calls it the way of holiness, doesn't he? So, what does this mean? How can I be holy? How can I be holy enough to walk on this way? Fortunately for me and for all of us, thank God, it is Christ who becomes our holiness when he is in us that enables us to walk on the way of holiness. Otherwise, we couldn't do it. Then Isaiah goes on to say, this way is for the pure in heart. Because in verse 8, he says, the unclean will not journey on it. Whoops. That's another bit of a tricky one there. It's all to do with denying self, which we looked at a few months ago, isn't it? The unclean will choose to please themselves and so walk in the flesh. Do you remember King David indulging his flesh? It's no wonder, isn't it, in Psalm 51, he says, create in me a pure heart, O God. And in Matthew 5, verse 8, Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And as we've looked at before, to truly follow Jesus is to daily deny ourselves. And in Isaiah, the third thing he says, wicked fools will not walk in it. Wicked fools. In script, throughout scripture, sin is foolishness. So, to put it simply, if we consciously choose to sin, we will not walk on this way. Right, well, that's the tough truths out of the way. You notice how we brushed over them pretty quickly. So let's move on to the awesome, fantastic truths. We're going to come back to the other ones, don't worry. In verse 9, Isaiah says, no lion will be there. This is really, really good news. The devil, who prowls around like a lion seeking for someone to devour, cannot reach anyone who is on the way, because he cannot get onto it himself. The best he can do is stand at the edge of the way and go, rawr. He can also try and entice us off the way. Because if we get enticed off the way, then we become vulnerable to him. But whilst we walk on the way, we are safe. In fact, Jesus says that his disciples have authority over all the power of the evil one, and nothing will harm them. Phew. Anyone else, like me, want to make sure they're on the way? He also says, no ferocious beast, no demons or demonic powers can walk on the way, because they are all unholy, in verse 9. And then also in verse 9, he says, this way is solely for the redeemed of the Lord. We are the redeemed of the Lord, are we not? This way, it's for us. It's for anyone who has been washed or has covered themselves in the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And this is God's perfect, brilliant plan for his church. A body of people all walking together on the way. And so, because they are walking on the way, being able to impact the world around them with the gospel, because they have overcome the power of the evil one in their lives and sin. And in verse 9, it also says, this will be a way of unspeakable joy, because they live in such close fellowship with the Lord of joy. We looked at joy last week with Robin, didn't we? It's not a fleeting glimpse in joy. Here one moment, gone the next. It says this is an eternal joy. And in addition to joy in this life, beyond this life, to the ones who are on the way, the redeemed will live in everlasting joy in heaven. So, in looking at these verses from Isaiah, this prophecy, I've been thinking a couple of hard questions to myself. I'm thinking, am I on the way? If I'm not on the way, can I get on the way? And how can I stay on the way? And maybe there's a little slight possibility that I'm already on the way. You see, when I read the first verse of this little bit, when it says it's the way of holiness, only the pure in heart shall walk on it, wicked fools will not walk on it, a part of me is thinking, maybe this is the way for only a few selected saints. You know, the Mother Teresas of the world. It surely can't be for me, because I don't think I'm saintly or holy enough to walk on it. And I'm also thinking, this way, it's almost sounding a little bit like it's a bit out of my reach. I think it's a little bit out of the place I would put myself on the saintly scale. Sounds a bit like a perfect ideal this way, doesn't it? A walk of holiness. The pure in heart will walk on it. No wicked fools will walk on it. And it is in one sense because the way is God's top standard. And so, if we imagine that the stage is the way, I've sort of pictured myself down here. And I like going, well, maybe, just maybe, I've got a little toe on the way. It's all gone quiet. I got some fantastic news for us this morning. Can anyone see what I'm doing when I'm thinking about it that like that? Yep. Once again, I've put my eyes back on myself. Maybe I've put them on the situation I'm in. So I've got to say, come on, Alan. We're not going to carry on doing that. We're not going to do it like that. If I continue to look at myself, my situations, my circumstances, in a very, very, very short time, that will lead to condemnation, fear, sin, and all the rest. So come on, once again, Alan, come on. But we look at ourselves so quickly and so easily, don't we? It's like our default go-to setting. But come on, come on, come on, Alan. Remember Luke 9:23. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Guys, the amazing truth is, once again, it is absolutely nothing about ourselves. It's nothing about anything we could ever do. Isn't that fantastic news? Remember, we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. We are in the way, and the way is in us. We do not have to strive. We do not have to try our best in our own strength to try and get onto the way. This is where God Almighty, our perfect Father, has already placed us. We can live in Him. He is that way. And we can walk in that way because the way lives in us. So here's the next tough thing. That's a great revolution. A great revolution? Maybe it is. Revelation. It's a great revelation, isn't it? It's one thing to think it. And then the next thing that enters my mind is, okay, if that's the case, does that mean that I'm no longer going to sin? Or maybe, if I do sin, is God going to push me off the way? Absolutely not. No. The amazing thing is His will, Almighty God's will for me and for you, is to be on the way. So much so that when we first became saved, the day we chose to follow Him, He placed us on the way. And as if that wasn't enough, He also lives inside of us to enable us to be able to walk on the way. And even on top of that, He will do everything possible to encourage us to stay on the way. Exactly. If we sin, I should have put when there, shouldn't I? But if we sin, God is ready and waiting to be merciful. But, and this is a big but, He does not expect us to willfully and intentionally disobey Him. Because if we do that, it shows that we have chosen independence from Him. It shows that we've got a rebellious heart and that we do not want to submit to Him. We looked at submission last time, didn't we? It shows that we do not want to submit to His will for our lives. If we ever find ourselves in that place, He is still ready and waiting to be merciful, to restore us, but only if we willfully submit and intentionally do our best to obey him. If you think about it, we're motivated by our hearts, aren't we? But thank God, God has amazing patience with us. Far more than we could ever deserve. God wants to prevent us from backsliding off the way. He wants to prevent us from leaving the way of holiness that he's already placed us on. But he's also given us free will. It's about what we choose. We have to choose each day, don't we, to deny ourselves and submit to him. We can choose to walk on the way, or we can choose to walk the other way. It's as simple as that. The choice is ours. And the reality is that at some point, every person in this room chooses to walk on the other way. But amazingly, when we turn back to God in repentance, God restores us immediately right back to the place in his family. I love the prodigal son parables. Anyone else? Luke 15:24, Jesus says, "This son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." It's actually really, really serious and quite somber. If we choose and decide not to walk on the way God has placed us, the reality is that is to opt for death, isn't it? It's what it says in the Bible. It's to live like those who are lost. It's to forsake the wonderful inheritance we have in Jesus Christ and live as if we have not been redeemed. Live as if we don't belong to God, but we belong to ourselves. God places every single person who believes in him on this way, on the way of holiness. But I wonder how many people actually choose to walk on it. I wonder, even, do I choose to walk on it every single day, no matter what? No matter what the circumstances, no matter how I'm feeling, no matter what I want to do myself, which sounds really selfish, but that's what it's about, isn't it? But, guys, God himself walks on this way. We can now see, can't we, why Jesus says in order to follow him, it's necessary to daily deny ourselves. Because our self-life, our flesh, does not want to walk on this way. And that is a really big challenge, isn't it? And it's where I sort of have come to myself at the moment. Maybe I've already gone past it, but where I sort of got to, it got me thinking, am I intent, or to put it another way, do I choose daily to please myself, please the flesh, or do I choose daily to deny the flesh so that I can also walk on the way in Christ? That's a tough question, isn't it? I'll bet you're glad you came this morning. The tremendous news is, Jesus makes it very clear that he and the Father want to come and make their home in all of us. But they do not feel at home in our flesh life. They can't, because it's in opposition to God. But they do feel at home in our spirit life. So if we do make the right choice daily to follow him, to please him, to deny ourselves and walk on that way, he then also works in us to enable us to be able to continue walking in the way. And I think more amazingly, every time we fail, when we turn back to him, he instantly restores us and puts us back on the way. So thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God that when we put our whole trust and faith in him, we're on that way. We're in his family. We're adopted. We're who we really are. I don't really want to say anything else about it now because I'm also conscious that I've also got this big thing in me at the moment to stop looking at myself all the time and sort of wallowing in self-pity is not the right word, but you know what I mean. Because our eyes should be on Jesus, shouldn't they really, and not on ourselves. The minute we put our eyes on Jesus, the minute we say yes to Jesus. So if we look at this way of holiness, this way that Isaiah describes, that Jesus describes, that the church in Acts walked, they were called followers of the way. In a true period of revival or reawakening, God's people, both in their personal lives and also in their corporate lives all together, actively choose to walk on the way, don't they? And then other people around sense the holiness of God amongst his people. Remember, the people aren't holy. It's the holiness of God amongst his people because it's Christ in us who's holy. Other people see the way which we all love each other rather than living each for ourselves. And I think they're also encouraged by the simplicity of faith, aren't they? When you look at the church in Acts, when you look at churches maybe who have been in revival in revival now, the boldness of their prayers and the great authority with which they have overcome the devil. Now, the really exciting thing, so we'll push all that stuff away there for a bit. But for us here at Oasis, I've actually written, we're now on the very edge of experiencing something like that here now, I think. I think we're on the very edge of it in our personal lives and also all together. And this year has already been really exciting, hasn't it? We've moved into our new building here. That's been absolutely fantastic. We had a fabulous 24-hour prayer and praise and worship, didn't we? And we've had fantastic talks, fantastic Bible studies, and lots of other bits and bobs as well. It's almost like all the bits of the jigsaw are coming into place. The foundations have been laid. It's almost like the final piece is waiting to be put into the puzzle. I'm praying that final piece goes into the puzzle really, really, really soon. Because when that final piece goes in, it's going, boom! I think we'll probably all self-combust. It'll be fantastic. But I tell you what, it will be hugely exciting. I cannot wait. So, now, I want to ask you the same question that I'm going to ask myself this morning. I'll be honest, I don't want to ask myself the question, but I think we have to. I'm still thinking about what my answer is, by the way. That's still thinking if I really want to ask myself. Let's do this thing. So I'm asking myself as well, and I want to ask you this morning, are you on the way? Are we prepared to daily deny ourselves, to deny our own self? Are we going to be intent? Are we going to be intentional about following him? About giving up our agendas and accepting his perfect plan and will for our lives? I don't know about anyone else here. I'll be really honest with you. I think at various points during my life, I've wholeheartedly said yes to things like that, and then it has been absolutely amazing. God's prime purpose for all the things he does for us, for all the gifts he gives us, and for us living in the way he intends is actually to make him famous, to spread his glory, to spread his gospel. But I can't think of a time when God has given me a gift or done something for me that I've thought has just been for me, but it's actually been for his big picture, that I don't get blessed in. It's always the best way, isn't it? That's what I'm trying to say. But I also think that the majority of time, it's like this. I'll wake up in the morning and I'll go, right, daily deny myself again. Okay. Well, you can have those two things, but that bit I'm going to keep for myself. Okay, right, I'm ready to go. It's really tricky, isn't it? But I've got to be honest with you guys. When we read the Bible, it's what we're called for. It's what we're called to. And I really believe that the minute we wholeheartedly just say yes, how we've been saying yes all year, God will just burst out and we will see proper revival and we will see church like Acts. Now, I don't mean exactly like Acts, but I mean the Holy Spirit working in the church like Acts. And we will see signs and wonders and we will see people impacted. After all, forget everything else about life. It is our commission to go out, preach, raise the dead, heal the sick, spread the good news. So, firstly, just before I do the last bit, maybe you're here today and you've never, ever accepted Jesus Christ. You've never decided in your life to follow him. You might have even thought about it a little bit. You might have heard about it before, but something might have held you back. I don't know. I've got to tell you, if that's you today, Jesus Christ, he died just for you. He paid the price for you and he bought you. And without him, we're not truly free. But in him, you can have true, true freedom. He can set you free from absolutely anything. No one on this planet can set you free from anything. They can do their best to try and help, to make things maybe a little bit comfortable, but only he can truly set you free. You may have been struggling against something for ages. You may even think it's not possible. I think loads of things aren't possible. But I'll tell you what, with Jesus, with God, all things are possible. So maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're even looking for something and you don't really know what it is, but you know that you need something else in your life that you know the world cannot give you, that no other person can. If that is you, If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe that God raised him from the dead after 3 days, then all you need to do is say yes to him this morning. All you need to do is accept him. And I tell you what, your life will never be the same again. So I'm just going to ask if everyone could just bow their heads now. And then if that is you, if you could just look at me as I look round, because I just want to say a real quick prayer for you. Okay. Okay, so why don't you just say this prayer with me now. Lord Jesus, I proclaim you as Lord in my life. I thank you that you died on the cross for me. And I believe that God the Father raised you from the death. It's a glorious resurrection. And today, I'm giving my life to you. I'm accepting you. I'm saying yes to you. I might not even know what that means, really. But I just know I need to say yes. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're so awesome. If you're not sure, then please come and see me or Robin afterwards, or the elders or anyone on the leadership team. If you're not sure what it means, we'll be really happy and excited to speak with you. And now, for everyone else, do you know what? I still don't want to ask myself the question. Risky, isn't it? Is there anything that God's... Here's an interesting question. Is there anything that God asks to do for him that isn't risky? Because I really believe Robin was being prophetic this morning when he gave us that scripture. It's really a prophetic scripture because, I don't know about you, I am pretty comfortable where I am at the moment, to be honest. I mean, we haven't got it perfect, but we're pretty comfortable, aren't we? But I know that there is more. Hello. So, it's quite simple, really. We won't come to the front, but if you're with me, if you want to choose to walk on the way this morning. We're going to have to choose again tomorrow, by the way. We're probably going to have to choose before we even get home for lunch. But at this point in time, if you want to walk on the way with me, I'm going to do it. Should we do it? Then let's stand together, shall we? Now don't stand if you don't mean it, because it's a tricky thing. We have to let go. We have to be willing to fall out of the nest. But I'll tell you what, in an half going to be exciting. So you can have a few moments to think. It's a pretty serious question. I'll tell you what, next time I preach, I've got a subject next time, haven't I? It's probably quite apt. There won't be any challenges. How's that about? There'll be a challenge for me, I'll tell you. You don't know the subject. Right, so let's raise our hands to him, shall we? Lord, you're so wonderful. You are so awesome. Lord, just before we we get into anything else, Lord, just between me and you, between him and you. Lord, I'm sorry for all those times that I've gone my own way. Even in the last week. Lord, we're truly sorry. Lord, and we turn back to you. And that's it, Lord. We don't want to focus anymore on ourselves. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I give you praise. Even though I don't really have the words, Lord, I exalt your name in this place. And I thank you that you have restored me and every single person in this room that has turned to you back to that place in your family. Lord, I thank you from the bottom of my heart that we don't have to do it ourselves. That we don't have to work at doing it, Lord. That we just have to say yes to you. Lord, we just have to put our eyes on you. Lord, we welcome you into our lives. We welcome you into our place here. Lord, we give you thanks for this amazing place. Lord, but the purpose of this place wasn't really for us, even though we enjoy it, Lord. It was for your glory, to make your name famous. Lord, I give thanks for the people that weren't redeemed this morning, but are now redeemed. Hallelujah. Lord, give those of us here, Lord, who have been following you, Lord, through your Spirit, give us the ability to disciple them, to show them truthfully what being a true follower of Christ looks like. Lord, and I also pray, Lord, you, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the unity that you live in, that's also your ideal for us, to live in unity with each other. Lord, give us a love like nothing else for each other. Lord, take our eyes off ourselves when we look at other people. Lord, let us put people first. Let us love people with your perfect love. And so, Lord, this morning, as we lift our hands up to you, Lord, we say yes to you. Lord, thanks that you have placed us on the way. Lord, through the power of your Spirit, enable each of us to be able to continue to walk on that way. And Lord, we're just ready for you. We're waiting for you. Lord, we're here to follow your next move in your plan. Lord, we're even willing to do that no matter what it means to ourselves. And that is really tricky. But Lord, we just want to see your kingdom come. We want to see as many people as possible redeemed to you. So Lord, we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Thank you that we're no longer slaves. Thank you that we are sons and daughters with an amazing inheritance. So Lord, I'm going to pray this for myself and pray it with me for yourself. Lord, I pray that you'd send me out in the power of your Spirit to carry out your will. Lord, and I know we're going to see amazing things happen because you said they would in your word.